keys to warfare. Now, more than ever, effective leadership requires a deft and subtle touch. The reason is simple. We have grown more distrustful of authority. At the same time, almost all of us imagine ourselves as authorities in our own right, officers, not foot soldiers. Feeling the need to assert themselves, people today put their own interests before the team. Group unity is fragile and can easily crack. These trends affect leaders in ways they barely know. The tendency is to give more power to the group. Wanting to seem democratic, leaders poll the whole staff for opinions, let the group make decisions, give subordinates input into the crafting of an overall strategy. Without realizing it, these leaders are letting the politics of the day seduce them into violating one of the most important rules of warfare and leadership: unity of command. Before it is too late, learn the lessons of war. Divided leadership is a recipe for disaster, the cause of the greatest military defeats in history. Among the foremost of these defeats was the Battle of Cannae in 216 BC between the Romans and the Carthaginians led by Hannibal. The Romans outnumbered the Carthaginians 2-1, but were virtually annihilated in a perfectly executed strategic envelopment. Hannibal, of course, was a military genius, but the Romans take much of the blame for their own defeat. They had a faulty command system, with two tribunes sharing leadership of the army. Disagreeing over how to fight Hannibal, these men fought each other as much as they fought him, and they made a mess of things. Divided leadership is dangerous because people in groups often think and act in ways that are illogical and ineffective. Call it groupthink. People in groups are political. They say and do things that they think will help their image within the group. They aim to please others, to promote themselves, rather than to see things dispassionately. Where an individual can be bold and creative, a group is often afraid of risk. The need to find a compromise among all the different egos kills creativity. The group has a mind of its own, and that mind is cautious, slow to decide, unimaginative, and sometimes downright irrational. This is the game you must play. Do whatever you can to preserve unity of command. Keep the strings to be pulled in your hands. The overarching strategic vision must come from you and you alone. At the same time, hide your tracks. Work behind the scenes. Make the group feel involved in your decisions. Seek their advice, incorporating their good ideas, politely deflecting their bad ones. If necessary, make minor cosmetic strategy changes to assuage the insecure political animals in the group. But ultimately, trust your own vision. Remember the dangers of group decision-making. The first rule of effective leadership is never to relinquish your unity of command. A critical step in creating an efficient chain of command is assembling a skilled team that shares your goals and values. That team gives you many advantages: spirited, motivated people who can think on their own, an image as a delegator, a fair and democratic leader, and a saving in your own valuable energy, which you can redirect toward the larger picture. In creating this team, you are looking for people who make up for your deficiencies, who have the skills you lack. Be careful in assembling this team that you are not seduced by expertise and intelligence. Character, the ability to work under you and with the rest of the team, and the capacity to accept responsibility and think independently are equally key. That is why Marshall tested Eisenhower for so long. You may not have as much time to spare, but never choose a man merely by his glittering resume. Look beyond his skills to his psychological makeup.